is Tuesday, March 19th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. On my homepage, there is a link to ZCF's book, Masters of Deception. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. It was okay for Americans in the North to hate Americans in the South so that the North could invade the South. Over 700,000 people died. It was okay for the Americans to hate the Filipinos so that the U.S. military could invade the Philippines. It was all right for the Americans to hate the Germans so that Britain, using a false flag attack, could trick us into a war against Germany in World War I. It was okay for Americans to hate the Japanese who had been provoked by Roosevelt to attack Pearl Harbor. It was okay for Americans to resurrect their hatred for Germans from World War I for yet another war. It was okay for Americans to hate the Koreans so Americans could fight and die in Korea, the forgotten war. It was okay for Americans to hate the Vietnamese so that they could invade and kill 3 million Vietnamese civilians. It was okay for Americans to hate the Iraqis so that U.S. forces could invade and destroy Iraq in the first Gulf War beginning on August 2, 1990, and again beginning on March 19, 2003, claiming they had weapons of mass destruction. That was after 13 years of sanctions that led to the deaths of 500,000 children. It was all right for Americans to hate the Afghans so that U.S. forces could invade on October 7, 2001 to ensure the spring poppy crop in 2002. It was tolerable for Americans to hate the Libyans so that the U.S. could invade and brutalize their leader. Obviously, I have omitted all the CIA operations that have collapsed governments such as Iran in 1954. Speaking of Iran, we are now supposed to hate Iranians so that we can prepare to invade that country. It is all right for Christians to hate Muslims, for whites to hate blacks, and vice versa. It is permissible to hate the Baptists, the Catholics, and the Mormons and other Christ-based religions. It is tolerable for Americans to hate anyone their government and corporate media provokes them to hate. Hasn't the media recently made a subtle connection between individuals who allegedly shoot innocent people with law-abiding gun owners? So now we are supposed to distrust gun owners and ultimately hate them. There is only one group of people that we are not allowed to hate or criticize. It is against the law in at least 16 countries and politically incorrect in America. It is the group that promoted congressional adoption of the Noahide laws, making Christianity a capital crime in America. It is the group of people who claim that Christ is boiling excrement in hell and who claim that Mary was a harlot. Isn't it time for the U.S. government and military to stop acting like the executioners and extortionists for the criminal cabal behind the curtain? Isn't it time that we stop falling for all this propaganda so that we can hate other people in order to go and slaughter people that we've never met and who have never done anything to us? We are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest today, Buthaina Nevlin. Stay tuned.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
get loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control, stop foreclosure, protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers, messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Boothena Neff. Boothena, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. Good morning. Thanks for having me. Glad to be with you.
We are very happy to have you on the program also. Could you tell us a little bit of yourself, where you're from?
Yes, I was born in the southern part of Iraq in a city called Kut, and I raised in Baghdad with my family. And my father was an engineer, my mother was a housemaker, and I grew up in Baghdad under the Ba'athist Party. I went to free schools, I get free education. I graduated from the University of Baghdad 1987. Then I got a job as a teacher, then as a journalist. Then a newscaster in the Iraqi TV station, the formal Iraqi TV station, which was completely destroyed after 2003 invasion, U.S.-led invasion on Iraq. I met my husband in his visit to Iraq before the invasion in a peace mission group for American professors from all over United State invited by the president of the Baghdad University, Dr. Muhammad Arrawi, and I met him and I interviewed all the 63 professors, and there's some kind of relation between me and my husband. Then he came and asked for my hand after the invasion, and my father and mother say yes. And I married in Jordan. And I came to U.S. 2004, 23rd of April 2004, which I like this date because it is the date of the birth and death of Shakespeare, my favorite poet.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very good. And And you were inclined to leave Iraq because of the situation there, the warfare and all?
It was bad, but it was not that bad. I mean, 2003, 2004, it's bad, but was okay to live. But after I left, things began after the Fallujah massacre of the Fallujah fighting, things to begin really bad in Iraq. And after when Paul Bremer left and the first government came, that was really very bad when the militia start working on killing Iraqis and ethnic cleansing, and that was really bad. So the time I left, it was bad, but not that bad. I mean, as after 2004 or 2005.
Okay, so it's gotten much worse since the invasion. Even though the invasion was what they called a shock and awe, it was an aerial campaign against the ancient city of Baghdad. It was what they call a decapitation attack, and it was directed at Iraqi President Saddam Hussein and other top leaders. But it really got bad, you say, in 2004. Now, yes. Paul Bremer was... he was kind of in charge there, and then they put in a puppet government. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. The bad thing that I made is that the militia coming door to door killing. I mean, we were just the horrendous thing was the U.S. bombings. That's really a horrendous thing. But you can go from place to place after the bombs end, but. The worst thing happened to Iraqi is this militia cleansing, who's backed by U.S. All of these militias backed and sponsored from 1999 by U.S. Government. The preparation of the Iraq war, Diane, started from the Clinton era. In 1999, the Congress gave almost $100 million to start they call it Operation Iraqi Freedom or something, Operation Iraqi Liberation. And some of that money went to Ahmed Chalabi, and he channeled it to the Badr Brigade and all this militia who were there training in Iran, and all those militia, Iraqi Freedom Fighter, were training in a lot of places, some of them Eastern Europe. And that's really the beginning of the war. In 1999, the thing began. I mean, we start hearing, okay, Iraqi liberation, Iraq after Saddam. So that's the real beginning of the war. It's not in 2003 or after the September event in U.S. So, yes. I told you, I mean, all this militia was primarily sponsored by U.S.
Okay, were they like contract people? They weren't actually U.S. military?
No. Some of them, Badr Brigade, you know, at the beginning of Badr Brigade militia, it started, Badr Brigade, I think it started when the Iranian Revolution started, and they started as people who are fighting with the Iranian army. Sometimes they enter Iraqi city, do some kind of sabotage. But that's the beginning of them, and that's the main militia that was backed by U.S. In 1999. And there are other militias like the Kurdish militia in North Iraq who were fighting the government long time ago before Saddam. I mean, I think they started in 1960. They started as a movement against the government of Iraq from the 1960s and till the 1970s. And then when Saddam, when he was vice president and had the Algiers agreement with the Shah of Iran, Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the Shah stopped funding money for this Kurdish militia, so when the Iran stopped giving money, the heads of the militia left Iraq and they were in exile. So from 1997, the Kurdish territory had achieved really, really enormous amount of development and settling, and Iraq want to turn the Kurdistan into a tourism resort. So the building, the schools, everything had been started from that time, really, when there's no more fighting with the central Baghdad government.
What kind of a leader was Saddam Hussein, really? Was he for his people?
He's a socialist, and he is for the pan-Arabic unity. And he wants really a great, strong, developed Iraq, very highly civilized. He's conservative, and he is not sectarian, and he is not a racist. He believes all Iraqis from Zaho to Fao are same people. In the era that he came, he was, you know, in the revolution of the Ba'athist took place in 1968. And from that time, Iraq was really developing great strides of development, economic, science, healthcare, free education, clean water. I mean, we were living as from 1986 till the 1991. We were living as if we are in Switzerland, a very, very, very advanced country. I mean, when I came to U.S., Diane, 2003, I missed a lot of stuff that my country has, I mean, granted to me. Free everything, free hospital, free clinic, healthcare, education, a lot of things that you can't easily find them here. So, yes, he's a nationalist, he's a socialist. I know the U.S. here demonized him a lot, so it make it a pretext to topple his regime. But whatever you heard about him in U.S. was a complete lie, from the lie of gassing people in Halabja and the lie of killing the Shiite uprising in the south after U.S. Army pulled from Kuwait. These all big lies, the lies that he was stealing money from the oil for food program. That's a big lie, just like the weapon of mass destruction lie. Another lie is that when they found him in the spider hole, that's a big lie. He was found in a house in Adora district in Baghdad, and they knock on the door, and he told, when he opened the door for them, he said, I could have take my gun, start shooting them, but I didn't want to be killed by an American soldier, because he considered it's undignified death to die by an American soldier. So everything you heard, Diane, about Saddam Hussein was a big lie, just a lie that enables U.S. to come and destroy my country.
Right. Now, he also... Decided that the resources in your country should benefit the people in your country, not the multinational corporations, correct?
Yes. He kicked out all the, in 1972, Iraq nationalized its oil. In 1972, it's by President Ahmed Hassan al-Bekr, was the first president of the Iraqi the Ba'athist Party. And the step was initiated in 1972, and the complete nationalization finished in 1975. So all the revenues of the oil came back to Iraq. It was at that time, before that time, it was going to PB and all these big corporations, but he kicked them all out. And that's the start of this antagonizing or hostility between Britain, America, and Iraq from that time. I believe that.
All righty. We are going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors with our guest today, Boutena Nevlin.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the Pure Effect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your Pure Effect Ultra today by visiting pureeffectfilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit pureeffectfilters.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Our guest today is Buthaina Nevlin, and I do want to say right now that there were many people in this country who did not support the actions of the U.S. government who in the invasion of Iraq at any time, and I am one of those, and my heart aches for the 500,000 children that perished as a result of the sanctions. There are people who were really siding with the Iraqis.
Thank
and
you.
Still do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, so you mentioned that basically Saddam Hussein was probably what one might call a national socialist, and that he decided that he was going to kick out all of the multinational corporations. They began nationalizing the oil in 1972, finished in 1975, and that all the resources then went to the citizens.
Exactly. And we were, really enjoying a very, very high status or high standard of living. And the Iraqi dinar at that time was equivalent to $3.30. I mean, our economy was booming at that time. And, we were enjoying everything, Diane. Peaceful life, clean life, good education, good transportation, very, very subsidized housing, very good, everything good, everything fine. And just tell you one thing, we as Iraqi nation, we had no intention for going to wars towards any of our countries, all these wars that were imposed on us, even the Kuwaiti war. There are a lot of meddling from U.S. with some of the Kuwaiti ruling families to provoke Iraq to go into the first Gulf War. But we are peaceful, loving people, and we live in harmony. Believe me, we don't know who was Sunni or who was Shiite before 2003 and 2004. I mean, I'm a Shiite Sunni woman, and my best friend, one Christian, one from Kurdistan. Those are my best two friends, and we were living in complete harmony, the Christian, the Arab, the Kurds. We don't have any tension, so all this sectarian violence that was happening after that, it's not real. It's just sponsored by U.S. also.
Right. Now, did you have a debt-based currency? Did you have to pay interest to a central bank in order to use your currency?
I'm sorry. Will you elaborate on that? What?
Did you have a privately owned bank that charged interest to the citizens in Iraq in order to use their currency?
No. We have the Iraqi Central Bank in Baghdad, which runs all the banks all over Iraq. And we have some kind of very, very, very minimum interest rate only on the debt of the house, real estate debt, but it's very, very small rate. It's nothing. But other than that, nothing, no interest at all.
Tell us a little bit about the culture. Did women get abortions there in Iraq before the invasion? Did they have R-rated movies? Did they have a lot of illegal drugs and that kind of thing?
Yes, Diane. Under the Islamic law, the religion of Iraq was Islam, but the government mostly secular government. I mean, respecting their religious Islamic law, but there is freedom. There are some kind of freedom. It's not. It's not encouraged, but if women have to save herself by doing abortion, it's okay. There are some clinics for that. But the attitude there, people hate abortion, usually. The government didn't stop you if you want to do abortion, but people didn't like this idea. They were all pro-life and conservative. Culture, yes. There are a lot of movies, theaters, and there are, they call it public clubs where people, families can go there and enjoy themselves. There are swimming pools. Women were very, very, have enjoyed a very good amount of freedom and equality, and mothers can take a maternity leave, very well paid by the government. What else? I'm sorry, you said about culture. There are some kind of a lot of theater. I mean, a lot of amusement parks, nice park. You can travel easily. All of that.
You had zoos and that kind of thing. Now this is all family entertainment, where you can take your children. And
yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Very, very clean country. I mean, we were shocked when the U.S. came. There are a lot of, really profanity.
Yes. All righty. We are going to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest today is Bethana Nevlin. And before we went to the break, you were talking about how surprised you were at the level of profanity by the U.S. troops as they came into your country.
Yes, Diane. I mean, Iraq was, before the invasion, was there's no drugs, zero drugs in Iraq. There is no sexually transmitted diseases. We're a very, very clean country. After the invasion, first I want to talk a little bit, if you allow me, Diane, about the beginning of the invasion. You know.
Please.
I want to concentrate in my talk on the lies that were planned here in this in the U.S. To deceive the American people. First, Iraq really fought hard. All the Iraqi people, especially in the south, fought hard against the invaders. I mean, Basra and Qasr were fighting for months, 2 months almost. Before the toppling of the statues, when the U.S. Invaded Iraq, there was big fights. Thousands and thousands of Iraqi soldiers lost their life, especially in the Battle of Al-Matar or Saddam International Airport, which was the decisive battle. And at that time, Saddam himself was leading the battle. there, U.S. sent, groups of Marines, and they were all killed. The last battle, people suggested, numbers came that between 1,700 and 2,000 Marines get killed in the last battle. And as a result of this huge casualties, they decided to shell the airport with a small nuclear bomb. That's kind of, I don't know if it's neutron or nuclear, but that kind of bomb that melt the body, the closest to...
Oh, phosphorus?
Yeah,
phosphorus.
I mean, some kind of a huge banned weapon. Either, yeah, the white phosphorus, and everybody said it's some kind of small nuclear bomb, just like those of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and that's what ended the battle of the airport. But there were huge casualties. Some people estimated that the Marines killed there between 2,000 and 8,000 or 7,000. After that, we heard some rumors that Russian envoy or ambassador in Baghdad warns the Iraqi army that if they don't stop fighting, they will shell Baghdad with the nuclear bombs. So that's make those who were fighting with Saddam leave the airport for good, and they disappears after that. When the American came to Baghdad and toppled the statue, you know, all this were a bogus, fictitious, photoshopped picture. Everything you saw was a bogus picture. Baghdad at that time was almost empty. So there were a few people here that their janitors, guards, so they pay them $100 each just to come and to be taped with the American when they topple the statue. And they were a director and producer, so everything you saw is a movie. And it's not real that the huge number of Iraqis, they were cheering the Americans. All these are bogus and photoshopped picture. After the toppling, even with the toppling of the statue, there are many parts in Iraq that kept on fighting for a long time. The resistance started from then with pockets from here on here everywhere. The time when Mr. Bush declared, mission accomplished. There was fierce fight in Diyala. They say 75 soldiers were killed from the U.S. forces. So, that's what we're here happening. After that, they began the looting. You see all those videos on the CNN and Al Jazeera. People came and loot. Those people who were looting, they were trained people. People trained by U.S. in Bulgaria, in Prague, in some other places. There are secret places for training those people. Some of them are Iraqi. Some of them are Iraqi from Iranian descent. So they were trained there. They were trained the loot. When you see the looters, you don't see the American tanks which were protecting them. So that's also, I want to clarify, all this looting done by professionals who were trained on these things, on these sabotage acts by the U.S. So that's one thing I want to clarify. After that, the resistance started, and then when Paul Bremer comes to Iraq, things began to be worse. Then we introduced to a very sectarian, racist sectarian administrative thing, and Iraqis didn't like it at that time. So I don't know, it was a horrible thing, but things from that time began to deteriorating. The looting of the Iraqi relics, Iraq from Zaho till Far filled with ancient relics. Iraq is the cradle, civilization cradle for the Akkadian, the Sumerian, the Babylonian, the Assyrian, all these great civilizations who contributed enormous scientific, economic, literature. In Iraq, the wheels were discovered, the writing were discovered. All these relics began to be looted by all those, beastly looters. And we asked the help of the American to prevent it. They didn't do anything. I mean, I saw the museum, the Iraqi National Museum in Baghdad. It was shelled with a cannonball from a tank. I mean, so horrible. I mean, when I saw it, I break down. I mean, you can't. And people begging them just to protect them. I mean, they didn't do anything. So all those looting and all those chaos happened in Iraq. It's done with the cooperation of the American forces. Everybody know that.
That's the same thing that they've done in other countries, such as in Vietnam. It was actually CIA operatives that started a lot of those crises over there. And they were, they dressed up like other people so that they would blend in. And they did all kinds of things in that country. And I presume that they do that wherever they go.
I think so, Diane. And it's then Abu Ghraib started, and this profanity and obscenity, we start hearing about raping the man. We didn't know that before the invasion. Mass parties in the prisons for raping men. Oh, my God, that's me. That's really break the Iraqi society. I mean, that's horrible. And, the Abu Ghraib and horrible thing happens. So the torture that till now going on in the Iraqi prison started from that time of Abu Ghraib. And then after that, this cleansing, the so-called ethnic cleansing, it just sponsored militia. They came to these different parts and they kill. And they arrest people and they kill them and they drop their bodies in the street. Oh, there is unknown body. This is cleansing. As the so-called Al-Qaeda. All this, everything was made by the American. That's what all Iraqi peoples know that. I mean, demonstration every now and then a break. The first thing to criticize America. They hate this government. They hear that this now coming government very corrupt. Billions of dollars were wasted, taken by the government, the parliamentary personnel, or these ministers. So it's really a daytime robbery. Invasion of Iraq is a daytime robbery.
Right.
Diane. You know, Iraqi asset, there was a frozen 50 billion Iraqi asset, was in the U.S. banks. When they get it, at the Paul Bremer time, nobody knows where does it go. That's a big loot. Paul Bremer and his friends took it. I mean, everybody know that. In addition to this, I mean, the revenue from the Iraqi oil, nobody knows where it does it go. Huge poverty in Iraq. Unemployment rate is very huge. Healthcare is nothing. The drugs, the problem that the drugs that plagued Iraq after the invasion, cheap drugs sell in the streets of Baghdad. I mean, that's a huge, I mean, people, young people who doesn't know what are these things, unemployed, no hope, nothing. They couldn't get out of Iraq to go to work in another country. They couldn't find anything in their country. So this, poor, poor young men and women. I mean, I'm really in heart-wrenching situations about this plague in Iraq. And all the drug dealers are big members of the government that's backed by U.S. So that's another problem. That's something we missed after the cleanliness of Iraq has gone. The high ethical, the high moral, that's all gone, Diane. It's just complete destruction. The infrastructure completely destroyed. No electricity running in Baghdad. No real electricity power plant. All of them sabotage. Every now and then, some of them know my government. Well, we give $30 billion to restore electricity and nothing happened. Just loot the revenue of Iraq. No electricity. Clean water is scarce. People depending on their resources. And the revenues of Iraq, nobody know where to go. I mean, it's easily just turn on any Iraqi TV and any Iraqi newspaper and you see the huge amount of corruption. We are next after Afghanistan in corruption. And Everything done with the full knowledge of the U.S. government. But I think they want Iraqi to die. I mean, that's the conclusion of every Iraqi. This U.S. invasion is nothing but a genocide for Iraq. I mean, I'm just looking for numbers. I mean, I kept looking numbers because it's really the depression gets me so bad. I mean, I was looking on Dr. Abdul Wahid al-Jassani, one of those Iraqi doctors who write about the casualties in Iraq. He estimated the death till now from the U.S. invasion are 4 million. We have 2 million widows, 5 million orphans. Neither to say the displaced or those who pushed by ethnic cleansings are between 4 and 5 million. I mean, Iraq is just 23 million. So with the heat season, 4 million death disappeared, or of course they turned to ashes and nobody knows where did they go. But 4 million death for the liberation of Iraq. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's speechless with this horrible genocide from the time of the liberation of Iraq. I mean, I don't know, Diane. It's so horrible, so horrible. You see the orphans in Iraq. You see the children in the street. The U.S. government, the Iraqi government before the Iraq war, every orphan has his own. I mean, there is a schools. Schools specials for the orphans, special teachers, special treatment. Everything good, and now the orphans are all over the place, and some of them heart-wrenching. I mean, children, 2, 3, they are in the street because the whole family is killed, and nobody taking care of them. And some families start to collect them, but poor poverty is rampant. I mean, very, very big in Iraq. What can they do? It's so hard. So that's, I mean, really, really the goal achieved by dismantling and destroying Iraq, I can say that for sure.
Basically, they came in, destroyed your country and took all the resources, destroyed the culture, slaughtered millions of people, destroyed the family. It just can't get any worse than this.
Yeah. And all this done by lies and lies and lies. And if you allow me, Diane, I will go over some of the big lies that the media use to legalize this war. I will start something with, first, I want to say something about, I will start with Saddam Hussein government. If you remember, one of the things that they used to demonize Saddam, they say, well, he has a close relation with Rumsfeld, and Rumsfeld used to sell weapons for him. First, U.S. never sold weapons to Iraq. All the weapons of Iraq are purchased from Yugoslavia and the Soviet Union, the Russian, the Soviet Union, some from other Eastern countries, Eastern European countries. That's three different points I want to concentrate now on. The meeting that the videos of Saddam and Rumsfeld, I just want to tell you what Rumsfeld wanted from Saddam or the Iraqi government that time. If you remember those videos when he's shaking his hand.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Rumsfeld was sent at that time to order, not to ask, to order Iraqi people three demands for U.S. First, stop calling for the Arab Pan Brotherhood. You can imagine that. No more we are promoting the Arab Brotherhood or Arab nationalism. Stop supporting the Palestinian and give the concession of 80% of the Iraqi oil to the oil companies of America, U.S. oil companies, all the companies that he was representing. Saddam at that time, when he heard Rumsfeld that, he just simply ignored him and he walked away and he left him alone in the room that time. So, of course, Iraq refused all these demands from U.S. It's just poking their nose in our own affairs. And from that time, they want the concession of 80% of the Iraqi oil to the American company. The media used this these videos to promote that, okay, Saddam was our agent and we were selling weapons for him. And then he turned against us. One more thing, the Halabja gassing, I really want to consider because it really hurt me when I heard. Halabja incident, if you know, that's happened at the end of the Iraqi
war. Right.
At that time, in 1986, just a quick flashback on the war. In 1986, Iran managed to get a great support and to conquer Al-Faus city, which is southern, which is a big oil place southern of Basra. And they,
We do have to go to a real quick 3-minute break. We'll pick this up on the other side. Be right back.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Boothena Nevlin. And you mentioned three things that are absolutely not true. You mentioned three things that Rumsfeld asked Saddam Hussein to do. One was not to support Palestine. The other was that 80% of the oil benefits were to go to U.S. corporations. And what was the third thing?
Stop promoting the Arab National Brotherhood.
Okay.
The Arab land was united, one land before the Sykes-Picot, which divided the Arab homeland, and then they start calling it the Middle East after creating the State of Israel in 1948. Yes, so stop calling for the Arab National Brotherhood.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you were talking about what happened in 1986 and the gassing.
Yes, yes. It's, I mean, you know, I believe that, Diane, one another, we don't want to any bad relation with Iran as Iraqi. I think Iran was promote and to fight Iraq. We wanted to have peace with the Iranian from the time the fighting broke. But, by the way, one more thing. I want to talk about the Iraqi-Iran war. The Iraqi-Iran war, they say it started 22 September 1980. In fact, it started in April 1980. April 1980, the first aircraft or jet fighter from Iran entered the Iraqi skies and start bombing the border cities. And this was really the start of the Iran imposing a war on us. That's what we lived and saw at that time. From that time, Iraq wanted good relation with Iran. Khomeini, when he came, 1979, February, the only main thing he concentrate was exporting the revolution, the Islamic revolution, to the infidels, Ba'athist party in Iraq, and toppling the regime. That's all of this documented by his speech and speech of his government. In September 4, 1989, the infantry division and the Iranian army came invade the border cities of Zayn al-Qaws and Saif Saad, and start shelling the around city of Zarbatia and Mendili from there. So the real start, if you can, from April, it's okay, or from 4th of September, when the Iranian forces took Zayn al-Qaws and Saif Saad. And the Iraqi army, start going to the UN, to the Arab League, to stop and to clear the Iranian army out of the city, but nothing happened. So the Iraqi army moved from 22 September 1980 and crushed the Iranian out of the Iraqi city. So that was the real incident that sparked the long war. Within the 8th war, Iraq kept asking for stopping the war in the religious time, in Hajj time, in the Eid time, or this religious Islamic, but Iran refused it.
All righty. We do have to go to our 60-second top of the hour break, and we will be right back with our second hour and with our guest today. Be right back.